The Lifestyle Show.
Selina McKenzie.
Now, The Great Gatsby has sold 25 million copies worldwide and sells 500,000 copies annually. The book has been made into three movies and produced for the theatre. It's considered the greatest American novel ever written, yet the story of how The Great Gatsby was written has not yet been told. Until now. To tell us about the book called Writing Gatsby, welcome to the show, William Elliot Hazelgrove.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, of course, we are talking about the life of F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, what most people don't understand is that, you know, when Gatsby came out, it actually flopped. It was a disaster in terms of sales, reviews were mixed. And when Fitzgerald died, it only had, you know, two boxes left in the Scribner warehouse. But the way it was written is really fascinating, and its comeback is fascinating. Fitzgerald was writing for the magazines in 1924, and then he went to the Riviera to work on his novel because he couldn't get going in Long Island. If you've seen the movies, your listeners have seen the movie, you see those great parties. Well, that was Fitzgerald's life. He was really the first youth culture, he and Zelda, his wife. And so they go to the Riviera. He gives himself about, you know, the summer to write it. And his wife, Zelda, who's sort of a wild child, is left on her own. And what happens is, as he's writing it, this actually starts to mirror his life, Gatsby. And Zelda has an affair. And this affair, if you've seen the movie, makes its way into the book as he's writing it. So really, she becomes a real-time character for him.
So it's almost a bit like an autobiography, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's what, you know, it struck me as so fascinating when I was doing the research, was that, you know, there's a famous line in Gatsby, can't repeat the past. Of course you can, old sport. Well, that was Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald had asked Zelda to marry him. She was a Southern belle. And she said, no, you have no prospects. You say you're going to become this famous novelist, but I have no idea how you're going to do it. He goes to New York alone, gets drunk, goes back, writes his novel, his first novel in his parents' attic. It becomes published. It becomes amazingly successful. And he goes back to Montgomery, Alabama, and asks Zelda to marry him. But he knows then that it's not going to be the same, that something is lost. And that's very much a Gatsby theme. And this happens over and over in his life.
Now, Zelda, she was a novelist too, I believe.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, the thing about Zelda is, and this is what a lot of people don't know, is, you know, we always hear about the flapper from the 20s. Zelda was that person. Fitzgerald created her as this sort of living character. And, you know, where, you know, skirts were shorter, hair was bobbed, you know, sex was talked about. They smoked, they drank. So this is, you know, this 1920s flapper really became this sort of living character. And Fitzgerald used Zelda in his short stories, his first two novels, Gatsby, and then the novels after. So really, he would write in real time where, you know, what would happen in his life, what would happen with Zelda, he would transmute that into the book.
Yeah, it sounds like he very much loved her, but was he faithful to her as well?
Actually, no. After she had an affair, you know, and by the way, she had an affair. She told him, I want a divorce. That scene makes it directly into the book, where there's a big confrontation at the Plaza Hotel. And then she tries to commit suicide.
Oh.
And also, that makes it into the book, in the death of Myrtle and then Gatsby's death. Yes, after that, then Fitzgerald, you know, had his own affairs. I mean, here's the thing. They were the first, if you will, rock and roll couple. There was no youth culture until Zelda and Scott came along. And people just, you know, grew up, became adults. I mean, they really, you know, there's this great line in Gatsby at the end, can't beat on, so he beat on boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. Well, what that really means is that America was transitioning from this small towns that everybody still had in their minds, yet there was this massive urban landscape emerging that people didn't quite understand. So they were in conflict.
And did they have children, him and Zelda?
Yes, it did. That's Scotty. She sort of grew up in all this turmoil, but she actually had a very, very normal life. And then she took over Fitzgerald's estate when he died. Now, Fitzgerald died in 1940. He went to Hollywood, drank. Fitzgerald was a raging alcoholic. And so Gatsby, when he dies, again, was non-existent. He would go around to bookstores saying, "Do you have any F. Scott Fitzgerald?" And they'd be like, "Wow, we haven't heard about him for years." Well, after he dies, the book is just, not to be found. But World War II breaks out, and a little program called the Armed Services Edition, which would send paperbacks overseas to all the soldiers in America, or rather in Europe. And so all these little editions of Gatsby, these little teeny paperbacks, about 250,000 of them, went overseas. So all these soldiers during the war read about this bootlegger on Long Island, the Great Gatsby, and then they came back and became journalists, librarians, teachers, and they started to talk about this book called The Great Gatsby and this writer F. Scott Fitzgerald. And that began the renaissance, the comeback of The Great Gatsby from virtually not existing till today. Like you said, it's sold 25 million copies and 500,000 a year.
Yeah, it's incredible. I am showing my ignorance now, but presumably he would have written other books, though probably not quite as successful.
No, this was really for him. This was to be his pinnacle. He really wanted to write something that would endure. Now, you have to remember, too, this is a time when Hemingway was huge. And this little, literary bauble, The Great Gatsby, again, it just sort of vanished. So, I mean, afterwards, after this book he wrote, Tenderest Night, which came out in the 30s and did not do that well. And then his final novel was The Last Tycoon. So here's the thing. When he died, in the obituaries, They didn't even mention The Great Gatsby. They said, he was a playboy of the 20s. They wrote him off. They said he wasted his talent. He was a drunk. So, I mean, this book that now is the standard for the American dream, that sums up the American dream as we know it, virtually was ignored by all the critics, when he died. And he was written off as just this author who squandered his talent.
How sad. How sad that he didn't get to see how successful it was.
Yeah, it is. It's a very American story, this sort of, falling all the way down, the book's not selling, the reviews were mixed, and then the comeback. That's what the brilliance of Gatsby is, that because it's a reflection of Scott's life, where he came from the Midwest, went east to make his mark, which is very Gatsby theme. And, Gatsby was from these poor farmers, and yet he came and he had this opulent lifestyle from bootlegging booze in the 20s. Well, Fitzgerald did the same. He came from, pretty humble beginnings in St. Paul, came east. He becomes the toast of New York. He and his wife are sort of, again, like the equivalent of a rock star today. So he rises up. And then he falls, and then comes back again, after he dies. And that's a very American story, one of remaking yourself and totally, becoming somebody else, getting success, losing it, and then coming back. We see this over and over.
And then after his death then, and when the book did become so huge, who would get the royalties? Would it be Scotty or her children?
Yeah, it was Scotty for a long time, but now the book's in the public domain. So, actually anybody can publish in it. But, I am sure that for movie rights and things like that, there is still the estate that hangs on to them. And, in the Baz Luhrmann film in 2013, which, I've watched several times, is really the best movie. There's three movies. They made one in the 20s that is lost to history. They had the 1974 one with Robert Redford. And then there's the Baz Luhrmann film with Leo DiCaprio. He really did the best job of trying to bring a novel that is very hard to bring to the screen, because that prose is so elegant and so packed up that when it's delivered on screen, like Can't Repeat the Past, of course you can on sport, it sort of sounds clunky and overblown, but it works in the novel. So, it's a very hard book to bring the film. But again, I think the 2013 version was something that, came close.
Yeah. And what about on stage? Have you seen it on stage?
I have. You know, and again, same thing. Since I know the book so well, and I know the lines, that when the lines are delivered, it's almost impossible to not make them sound sort of clunky and the line delivered about Daisy, well, her voice is full of money, old sport. And, you know, those kind of lines work very well in the book, but it seems like when it's spoken out loud. But again, literature is a more complicated art than film. It just is. I mean, film, your eyes watch it and you see the images portrayed for you. You know, literature, your mind lights up from a sentence or a word or poetry, you know, and that's Fitzgerald. It's all connotative, right? It's all implied meaning. And that's, by the way, one reason the book failed was because people were used to a certain kind of Fitzgerald novel where things were very obvious. They read this little book that was only 50,000 words, so it was a very short book for the time. And it had a lot of sex in it, and there was murder. And then they didn't quite understand the prose, you know, because Fitzgerald actually, you know, his editor said this, Max Perkins, he wrote over his readers' heads. And I think this was true. That's why it took a while for people to appreciate what it really was.
Yeah. I sometimes get disappointed watching movies or stage plays, because you are right. When you're reading it, it's how your mind imagines the voices, imagines things happening. When you're all watching a film together, you see it how the director wants you to see it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and poor Francis Ford Coppola, who made it in 1974, truly loved the book. But because he loved it so much, he put in all the dialogue from the book. And it just was horrible because, you know, you had Robert Redford going around delivering these lines and Mia Farrow, and they just sounded awful in their mouth. And again, like you said, it's the director's vision of that versus the author. You know, the great advantage of being an author over being a director or somebody who works in movies is you're the only one controlling it. Mm. You know, I'm dealing with this on one of my other books to make it into a movie. And you know, you control the book, but a movie, there's 50 people controlling it. So it's really a sort of roulette wheel that it comes off at all, because you have all these different views and input, and, you know, it's collaborative versus the author sits down and says, no, here's the way it goes, and here's my view. And you know what? Frankly, you have a lot more time to get it across, too.
Yeah, of course. Well, you mentioned another book, and I've got your website up. I know that you're the author of over 20 books. Have you got anything in the pipeline coming up next, apart from the one you've just mentioned and the writing Gatsby?
Yeah, actually, I am writing a book called Hemingway's Attic, which is going to be sort of what Hemingway went through writing Old Man and the Sea. And then I have a book on Teddy Roosevelt coming out in June called The Last Charge of the Rough Rider, which covers his last days when he wanted to go to Europe and fight the Germans on a horse. So, yes.
Wow, so, you're busy.
Yes.
Well, this particular book we're selling right now on our website, if our listeners go to tre.radio and click on the bookshop banner, it's called Writing Gatsby, The Real Story of the Writing of the Greatest American Novel, and it's by William Elliot Hazelgrove, who we're chatting to now. William, do you have a website if people want to find out about all your books?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's williamhazelgrove.com. And, you know, you can just put in on any kind of search, Writing Gatsby or anything like that. But, yeah, sure, williamhazelgrove.com. And there's lots of media and all about the book and all sorts of events.
Great stuff. Well, do keep us posted when the next one's out, and I'd love to chat to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is TRE.